something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
It's medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mental, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
It's a Netball Show with Mizuno. Richard Evans joins us from England Netball, who's the strategic lead disability. Rich, thanks for joining us.
No worries, it's great to be here.
Tell me, first of all, a bit about your role and what it actually involves.
Yeah, so my role is quite a varied role, and I guess in its simplest form, I'm here to develop a new sport for deaf and disabled women, but it's always a little bit wider than that. So it could be things like helping the comms team around making sure that we're getting a varied imagery out there, all the way through to elements around education and training, making sure that we're taking a wider inclusive approach in that front, all the way down to the registration forms that you might sign up when you sign up to Back to Netball or Walking Netball, and the kind of questions you might have on there, or even down to the colours that may even be on that form that to make it easy to read and more accessible. So it really is a wide ranging and varied role.
Yeah, exciting role. Plenty of different aspects to it. So always something to keep you busy, I expect.
Yeah, and that is one of the beauties of this role, is that you kind of get to work across the whole of the business and work with all of the teams, and that's always exciting, especially when coming into a new sport for me, as I'm not personally a netballer. I get to really see the whole of the sport, yeah, which is incredibly exciting.
Let's have a look at a couple of parts of your work. You've been working towards writing a para netball strategy?
Yeah, so this is with the design team at the moment, so it really is in its final stages, and hopefully will be released in the upcoming weeks. And this has been one of the things that has been, I guess, the cornerstone, or what I want to be the cornerstone of netball for deaf and disabled people. And it's probably worth explaining a little bit around why we're calling it para netball in the first place, and kind of go from there. Really, the main aim of it is to try and develop it again for deaf and disabled women and girls that looks and feels very much like netball does in mainstream settings. So when we talk about para, we're not talking about paralyzed or paraplegic. We're really talking about parallel. And actually, when you look at the Paralympics, which is often you know, most people will be familiar with, that actually means the Parallel Olympics. And we're trying to take that essence from the Paralympics and its true meaning of para into netball. So we're not necessarily trying to create an elite sport at this stage by any means. What we really mean is we are creating parallel netball. And that's pretty much the true, the real essence to the strategy, to try and create a new and exciting parallel netball. So when I first came into the job, I spoke to a lot of the England Netball staff and others outside of there that played the game to try and find out what do people really love about the sport? What is it that really gets people for life? And it really is a lifelong sport for so many people. And it was, you know, the speed, it was the dynamic nature of it, the teamwork, that idea of no single player can defend and score. And it was, well, they're the components which kind of go into para netball. But of course, it's not just about the game itself. It's all about, you know, education and training. It's around rules and regulations. And that's where, you know, we cover the whole sport. I need to work with Gary Burgess and the officiating team to make sure the rules that we come up with are actually satisfactory and meet standards, which, you know, as I'm not a trained umpire, I need to make sure that they meet certain standards and can be translated to our current umpiring workforce.
You've announced that the first one's taking place in Nottingham in June as well, so you'll be busy working towards that.
Yeah, so a part of the strategy is to develop the competition element. You know, we really want to make sure that what we're doing here at England Netball isn't just in theory or just an inclusive approach to everything that we do. We actually want to have something concrete, a foundation built in the sport. And part of that is competition, opportunities to play. And so we're building on some great work that has been done through the Marion Smith competition and Marion Smith herself over the last couple of decades or so, and really trying to build that into something which is across the sport and open to many different impairment groups. But it isn't just based on, you know, previous experience or people that you know. That what we're trying to do is create an evidence-based approach. So through piloting and testing and working with different disability groups to try and really develop the sport. A great example of that is the Deaf Netball competition that's happening at the Para Championships in June, is that we actually worked with UK Deaf Sport. And it's actually this week is a Deaf Awareness Week.
Yeah.
And we worked with them in order to create that pilot, in order to try and learn as much as I can around different impairment groups. You know, I'm not an expert in hearing impairments, and you know, I need guiding. I can't be an expert in every different area, so it's great to partner in order to develop things, and that's really what we're trying to do. So that last year we piloted Deaf Netball, and this year will be the inaugural championships, where players can play as an individual. So you can sign up as an individual today, or maybe if you've got a friend, you could sign up as a pair, and there may be more of you that you know that you can form a team and enter. But it doesn't have to be a formal club entry or something like that. If you have a hearing impairment, then you can take part on the 15th of June in the Deaf Championships.
More information on that on the England Netball website?
Yep, absolutely. If you just type Para Netball into Google, we're the top result.
And you must have been satisfied how those pilots went.
Yeah, actually, they went better than expected, to be honest. And that's probably because we didn't know what to expect. We knew that it could work. We knew that a couple of people with hearing impairments have played in the past. We've even known of a deaf team playing in leagues. But no one's ever formalized what that looks like. And it's often been people with hearing impairments you know, competing in mainstream leagues and mainstream teams, which is brilliant. That's, you know, that's an incredibly inclusive approach and something that we really welcome. But we also wanted the chance to develop something for those people to play in their peer group and to become the best deaf netballer that they can be. And it was that sense, really, of these women coming together who may be the only player on their team that has a hearing impairment. Some ladies, you know, actually have kind of hidden their hearing impairment and have played without their hearing aids, which they may well have used in their day-to-day lives. But actually, when it came to the netball court, that they felt that they couldn't wear hearing aids. And again, that didn't really help with integration. And for some of them, it's really been an absolute confidence builder in bringing them to be able to play with hearing aids and to be able to compete with their teammates.
Share some of that feedback you've had.
Yeah, so it, you know, through the pilots, we try to get feedback from people as much as possible in a number of different ways. The pilots themselves, what we didn't want to go in is just to say, this is it, let's play, tell me if it's good or not. We needed feedback across the whole of the sport. So, you know, when we developed the pilot itself, we looked at from a coaching point of view. So we brought in a coach to develop a session with different groups of hearing impairments. We brought Kate Stevenson in, international umpire, to help with the developing the rules, as well as then pulling it together in that game. And that's kind of what led to, in that area, some of the feedback that we got, where, like I say, it was tremendous, the feedback that we got around things like that confidence boost, that being able to accept the wearing hearing aids in a sporting environment. It really seemed to have been a game changer for a lot of ladies, and as well as just having a fantastic opportunity to play with people from their own community that they've not necessarily had the chance to do. In other areas, you know, we're not just developing deaf netball. Marion Smith, which is the competition that we're building on, is designed for people with learning disabilities and has been going for the last 10 years or so. And we're trying to open that up a little bit wider to bring more of the schools in through the special educational needs, developing special educational needs competition, and a resource as well, which will go out in September. And we've been getting feedback from teachers on that, from the forums that, that we've had, and we've been developing it from the pilots that we've run in London. So it really has been trying to get a wide range of feedback, not just on the deaf netball that we started talking about, but also wider in the whole of the approach towards the strategy in developing para netball.
Is that the blended netball side of things then?
Yeah, blended netball. Yeah, this is the school's resource. It'll be freely available to people from, well, hoping for the new academic year, so from September. And you know, one of the things that struck me when I came into the sport was, you know, a lot of people get into netball because they played in school, and then, it, like I said before, it becomes this lifelong partnership with this sport. It just informs all different aspects of their lives. And my question to a colleague when I started was, what happens if someone doesn't play netball at school? As a boy growing up in Northumberland, we didn't play netball. Boys didn't play netball. And so I had very little experience or exposure when I came into the sport. And that's what I wanted to know. And there are some incredibly forward-thinking schools where SEN girls are playing netball and taking part in regular PE lessons. However, that doesn't necessarily fit the majority of schools. And yeah, my question to my colleague was, what happens if you didn't play? How would you ever know that netball could be your sport? And that's kind of one of the things that we're trying to battle. And through that, we decided to develop a resource that we're calling Blended Netball. My wife's a teacher, so I know how pressured teachers are. And one thing that I was very conscious of was, you know, this is another resource for another thing for a teacher to do. And time is always incredibly precious. But, you know, we know that in an average state secondary school, there are 70 SEN girls. And so we know that most mainstream secondary schools play netball. And what we wanted to tap into, and what we do tap into with blended netball, is actually the knowledge of those mainstream girls and trying to bring that knowledge and experience to SEN girls. And this is the blended element. So it's, you know, organized by teachers. However, the delivery is mainstream girls delivering to SEN girls. And they're sharing all of their hard skills, as it were, all of their netball skills. But what they're learning back and what they're getting back, you know, could be empathy, leadership, communication, working outside the chosen peer group. And that's really that whole idea of peer-to-peer learning. And essentially, if we were going to sum up what blended netball is, that's what it is. It is peer-to-peer netball. And that runs through an 8 to 12 week program that's running in school. No specialist equipment needed, just your regular netball stuff. Designed and aimed at teenage girls. So it's not written for teachers per se. It's written at teenage girls and for teenage girls. And the idea is, you know, they're sharing their experience and their knowledge, and then passing that on. And at the end of the program, at the end of the 12 weeks or so, they actually compete together alongside each other on the same team. Because as we know, you know, netball is one of the, if not the greatest team sport. And we feel that there's an opportunity for people to play alongside each other. And it's not a case of a teacher and a student in a sense of them passing on their knowledge. Is that actually they're peers. So they learn and teach peer-to-peer hard skills and soft skills. And then they get to play peer-to-peer with each other in order to develop that competitive element within the school. And hopefully then that can feed into, you know, a growing para netball schools championship, which will lead us back into that whole competition development that we talked about a few minutes ago.
The good thing is it's all about coaching the person, and that's the actual hashtag as well.
Yeah, we wanted to work with the coaching team and to develop a couple of campaigns. We started one just before Christmas, and we're just finishing one for National Deaf Awareness Week, which is focused on hearing impairments. And I think what we're trying to do is just remind people, you know, we have a lot of fears and worries, especially if we're not experienced in coaching people with a disability. And the idea is that all they are as a person. And at the end of the day, if you've done a level two coaching course, then you actually will have the skills and the knowledge in order to coach them. Often what you don't have is the confidence. And hopefully that's what we're trying to build through our online campaigns. And we're launching a new course as well that you'll be able to attend, a disability awareness course. And that really is a crucial part of the jigsaw, really, for making sure that out in the community, we have people who are knowledgeable and experienced and confident. Because if a deliverer isn't confident, then we often know the experience that the player might have suffers. And actually, our course that we're launching aims to focus on developing that confidence within the actual deliverer. So coaching the person is just that the little phrase that helps center us to remember that they are a person and we are coaches. And if we put those two things together, then people are going to have a good experience.
Give us some indication of the numbers and growth of deaf and disabled people then taking part?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the issues that we have had is possibly around the way that we historically have talked about disability. And, you know, in the past, we at England Netball, but this is wider, we often take a medical model approach. And what I mean by that is we will often ask the question, if you look at our registration forms that I'm sure most people will have filled out, it'll ask a question simply like, do you have a disability? Yes, no. And what we're looking at there is a very medical approach. And unfortunately, what that's meant is that, you know, a lot of people, especially around hearing impairments, don't necessarily recognize themselves as having a disability. However, if you ask that question differently, which might be, do you wear hearing aids? They might tick yes. So they might say no to disability, but yes to hearing aids. And so we do have some figures. They're around, or over the last few years, they've kind of been around the 450-odd mark competing. Some of that's in the Marion Smith competition, which I mentioned in the past. Some of that's just been in leagues and in clubs. But we do know there's a lot of people who do have disabilities and impairments that maybe haven't ticked that yes box because we've taken more of a medical approach. And going forward, we will be taking more of a social approach in the way that we ask that question. So, like I say, asking the question around, do you wear hearing aids rather than do you have a disability? We're most likely to get a different response.
And that'll be something you're looking to implement in the future?
Yeah, so it's one of the things that we're working on. I've been working with Chris and the Insight team at England Netball to look at how we're asking those questions in order to get the best response. So to go back to your question, historically, we've kind of had around 400 to 450-odd people over the last few years. And the year just finished, we have actually seen a jump in people playing, which is fantastic and is a real testament to the local and county staff around the country, because we've pretty much tripled that. And at the last count, I think we were at around the 1,200 mark, still with a few people to put in some data. So, you know, and that's without a program particularly announced. You know, blended netball isn't available just yet. We're just launching para netball right now, but we've really seen, maybe it's the social media aspect, maybe it's that we've had a few articles and it's just general awareness being increased, that we're getting more and more people coming through who are willing to tick yes and are coming to us because they have a disability and they actually want to play netball and they've never had that opportunity before. So, you know, I'm very excited about where this could go, because the amount of growth that we've had has been phenomenal in such a short amount of time, and certainly, like I say, certainly blown my expectations out the water.
And on a personal note then, Rich, lots going on, so what do you get out of it?
I think for me, when I came into the sport, I came in from Paralympic sport, and what I saw in England netball, and indeed netball worldwide, was just this incredible opportunity to develop a new sport for deaf and disabled women. In this country, in England, there's 9.4 million people who are deaf and disabled, and 55% of those are female. And for a lot of them, they don't have a team sport in order to make their own. And really, what drives me, I guess, or what excites me, is that opportunity. It's that opportunity that we have a sport, not just in England, but worldwide, to bring a new sport to people who have been, you know, very underserved when it comes to team sports. You know, a lot of team sports where women do play, some incredibly successful ones like wheelchair basketball, you may be walking around all day using a prosthetic limb, but then you go into a wheelchair in order to play sport. And what we have in netball is an opportunity to have a running team sport for women. And, you know, that opportunity, both in this country and worldwide, is something which is just, well, excites me, and I would imagine excites most of the people that are listening, yeah. Listening to this podcast.
Best way to find out more then? Just on the England website?
Yes. Right now, the biggest thing that's going to be out there is these competitions coming up. And, you know, if you have a learning disability, or if you're a school and you have special educational needs girls in there, which you will do if you're a state school, then you can enter those championships. The school's championship is on Friday, the 14th of June, and the learning disability competition is on the Saturday, the 15th, along with the deaf championships too. And just a reminder on those deaf championships, you don't have to sign up as a team. You can sign up as an individual if you wear hearing aids in your everyday life, or if you have a cochlear implant, or whether you use British Sign Language. This is a competition where you can sign up. So that's the main part of this stage. But look out for blended netball. That's coming in the next few months. Look out for that strategy. That's where we're going to have a lot more information. And if you want to follow Coach the Person, then look up England Netball Coaching on Facebook and in Twitter, and you'll be able to use that hashtag and follow all of the updates that we've had both last year and this year. So yeah, a lot coming, and yeah, real exciting time.
Can anybody email you direct as well?
Yep, absolutely. You can email me directly, just at richard.evans@englandnetball.co.uk. Love to hear from people, whether you have a disability or not, whether you want to be able to, maybe you've got a bright idea that we just haven't thought of. We genuinely would love to hear from you, because yeah, this is very much is in development and research. In fact, this year we'll be developing, we'll be starting the research on physical disability netball. So we'll be looking at how we might develop it for amputees or for people with cerebral palsy. So if that's an area that you have experience in or you have a passion for, then please really do get in touch. I really would love to hear from you.
Richard, thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you so much.
See you during the week for our main episodes. And we're always online at thenetballshow.co.uk.
It's something I've dreamed of for a long time. It's just every shooter's dream, and you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.